Good evening, everyone. It's Wednesday night, and this is the night that we work our way and continue to work our way through The Hidden Work by E.J. Gold. We've made our way through the bulk of the book. We're on chapter 14 of 15 chapters. Chapter 14 introduces us and allows us to experiment with, there's a kind of a challenge in the middle of the chapter, where the chapter discusses the concept of angel training, angelic training, and how do you do such a thing when all of us solid rationalists approach a topic like this, and we go, come on, angel stuff, right? Well, okay, if you're posture is a posture of objectivity, then your posture of objectivity should include within it the concept of let's allow this experiment. So we did that. And we've allowed the experiment by allowing our groups to form into choirs and allowing the choirs to represent each of the seven celestial halls. And we finished that about a couple of weeks ago, and then we felt a little incomplete because yet there were three halls and three choirs that had not formed and had not allowed, in a sense, the invitation for these three other archangels to come through. Next week, we'll have a presentation, and the door will open to the ever befuddled, interesting, powerful Archangel Gabriel, and followed by the following week by the mysterious yet the profound Archangel Zachiel. And that leaves one that is the actual, the seventh hall. And the seventh hall is the Archangel Kasiel. And that completes the cycle, in a sense, completes our obligation that I believe is put forth under this wonderful chapter 14 in The Hidden Work by E.J. Gold. So if everybody has their hot toddies, their chocolate, their warm hot chocolate next to their TV, and is ready to enter into the realm of the seventh hall, we then together can begin.
Tonight, we voyage to the uppermost or highest heaven, the seventh heaven. Yes.
Hang on. We now present the Archangel Kasiel.
Tonight, we voyage to the uppermost or highest heaven, the seventh heaven, called Arabot, or the clouds in Hebrew. It is likened to a vast plain or the surface of an endless sea or endless crystal waters, and is where the major experiences of Enoch occurred. It is the home of God on his throne, along with the highest orders of angels, the seraphim, cherubim, and thrones. We find here also the angels of love, fear, grace, and dread, as found in the third book of Enoch. It is where all beings cry out, "I am," when they are born, and if they can remember, also when they die. In Kabbalah, this heaven represents the supernal triad Kether, Chokmah, Bina, and is the place of that which is created good, beautiful, merciful, and just, the qualities of the three supernals, including the Tippereth of Atzilut, in the divine world. It is the place of origin for the divine dew, the dew of Hermon, which produces ecstasy in spiritual aspirants, called nectar in Gurdjieff's writings, and which will revive the dead on the day of resurrection when the great cycle of creation reaches its jubilee phase of return. This heaven is ruled by the archangel Kasiel, which is the Latin name for the Hebrew Kasiel, the angel of solitude and tears, the father of time, who shows both the unity of all things in the eternal world and the futility of all pursuits in the phenomenal world. This mighty angel is therefore the mirror of completion for what Gurdjieff called the second totality of functioning, the unity of presence. He brings the certainty spoken of in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? He is also associated with harmony, balance, serenity, and with keeping things in perspective. He has been known to appear as the angel of temperance. Kasiel is also a ruling prince of the angelic order of powers and one of the three regents of Saturn. Cronos, or Saturn, is the ancient of time that allows the absolute to experience linear consequences, the play of opposites such as joy and sorrow, in a world where everything does not happen all at once as it does in eternity. Kasiel is known for not interfering or even interacting with humans or other creatures, and to be only an observer, not a shaper of events. He only takes action with humans when ordered to do so by the heavenly host. This characteristic places him at the opposite end of the social spectrum from the archangel Raphael, who most enjoys the company of humans. This characteristic of aloofness is consistent with the letting go spiritual experience of this heaven, as it is the last veil to be removed from the sight of those on the path of return. Representing the only death we will ever really face, the final death of the ego, the man on the cross. Perhaps this is why Kasiel is also known to attend the death of kings, for is not the ego the king of the organic machine? If we can surrender, according to biblical legend, the light that was called forth on the first day of creation, and which is found in this heaven, allows creatures to see from one end of the world to the other, the result of this veil falling away. Rabbi and Kabbalist Zev ben Shimon Halevi says that such a divine luminosity is said to be perceived only by those pure spirits who have made contact with the highest level of creation after death, or during a profound moment of illumination during life. This is the state and condition of the seventh heaven that all mystics seek.
The absolute is in need of a special activity called prayer absolute, which no other being but man, which is to say a three-centrum being with an awakened biological machine, can perform. The exact technical method of prayer absolute begins as from prior study of the human biological machine, we have learned and experientially verified that we are able to separate the more refined vibratory sensation of the life force from the dominant electrical field of the physical body and historical personality. In this way, we have been able to establish a relatively independent and individual, immaterial, personal presence. Angels are often called messengers of God. This is a stupid mistake made by philosophers who either never knew an angel or have ever been an angel. Some angels function as intermediaries between the earth and the absolute. But intermediaries in the sense of conductor, not messenger. Each angel is a specialist whose attributes are fixed in a special repertoire of postures, moods, and contemplations. For example, Cassiel is an expert of one of the postures of the Absolute, which the Absolute need not assume because Cassiel, according to his nature, performs this function. The Solar Absolute is surrounded by seven angelic choirs or kings in tiers or levels around the throne. And on the throne sits the Absolute. To assume a posture of one of these angels is to assume the post of one or another of the cosmic maintainers. The presence of the endless absolute, or if you prefer, God, cannot be measured scientifically. And just as the presence of the absolute is diffused throughout the creation, the presence of our personal presence is diffused throughout the human biological machine. Is it any wonder our presences identify so strongly with the sleep and activities of the machine? My understanding of these ideas is that each of the angelic choirs serving as a conductor represents an increasing diffusion and fragmentation of the presence of the absolute from the greatest concentration in the solar absolute to the most diffused and dispersed manifestation of the presence of the absolute in the creation. Prayer absolute is a shorthand way of remembering the fundamental posture of each angelic choir. As our personal presence resonates with the ruler of each choir, we're able to begin our evolutionary ascent back towards the throne of the Absolute. The posture of Cassiel is characterized in the last line of prayer absolute, namely, in form and formlessness, my presence becomes thee. a fuller picture, an illustration of this posture is suggested on page 111 of The Hidden Work. First, just in the beginning, because later you will not require the help of external focus for your for attention, seat yourself before a figure or portrait of the man on the cross and concentrate your attention on the form, trying to see the vision of the world through the eyes of the man on the cross, exactly as he sees it from the vantage point of the cross. One day you will see it, and you will know that it is the vision of the man on the cross because you will be looking down from the top of the cross. This is the posture of Cassiel. End of reading.
Involved with thoughts of solid form, swirling in a hurricane of force, separating into primal elements, phenomena, of motion, opening before me paths of flesh and blood, nothing there but misery and pain. Serene and calm, I wait in stillness and in silence, bathed in cleansing radiation, brilliant in the light of inner vision. I see my ego struggling for breath, clinging tightly to the remnants of organic life, terrified to die. Penetrating radiation, violent explosion from his heart to mine, another light, soft orange, near the first, seems to offer refuge to my soul. Melting in vibration fusion, dissolving my resistance, I lose the force of my reactions, not attracted to the soft orange light. Wandering alone, maintaining thoughts of body symptoms, bathed in cleansing radiation, surrounding myself in the endless crystal waters. All phenomena is illusion, neither attracted nor repelled, not making any sudden moves. My habits will carry me through. And now, the invocation.
In the name of the Eternal, we invoke the presence of the Holy Archangel Cassiel, offering up our gratitude for the gift of your brilliant violet light, expanding our awareness of who we are and have always been, and for infusing us with the certainty that from our tears comes our ultimate joy. We thank you for teaching us, one lesson at a time, that we are in this world, but not of it. We thank you for the growing gift of inner conviction, patience, and responsibility that they may continue to ripen within each of us, giving wings to our non-phenomenal self and enabling us to be of greater service in the work to which each has been appointed. We are grateful for your compassion in helping us experience awe greater discernment and inspiration, living this life with the constant prayer that God's will be done. Amen.
In the company of Archangel Kasiel, let us now invoke our presence here together and contemplate the man on the cross. This then concludes the presentation of the seventh choir on behalf of the Archangel Kasiel. Thank you, Seventh Choir, and for your wonderful and timely efforts. It was just crisp, and I'm just so thankful for the different tones that each of the choirs presents, and we get to visit each of these archangels in such a different way, and it's just so different for me, this particular one. And I want to thank Ivan and everybody that participated. Just At one point, the Tibetan bowl really took off. It was really quite remarkable piece of work there. And the readings were just poetic. I'll post all of these on the website over the next 2 or 3 days. But this was all original work that was put together by these individuals. I'm very thankful for this kind of work now. Yeah. Any comments, thoughts, additions? Shakti was so quiet.
Mark Roche says, thank you all. Very moving, very resonant.
Yes.
The gong playing was great.
That it was.
I thought the readings were great.
Yeah. The Tamara's saying she loved the opening. It was a set of coordinates that helped us all find our way there. Well put.
Yeah, it's interesting how it actually feels a little bit like a tour in Second Life. It's like you're going through one of Jay's zones there.
Nice. Cameron's also saying that even though we didn't light incense here, some of you may have lit incense at your own location, but we didn't light incense here. But she had the sense of the incense. That's right. It's another tone that enters into the space, isn't it?
We have more comments.
Please, read, if you would.
Pathworld says, all very good. Happiness says, very good. Mark Roach loved the whole thing. It really struck a mood.
Yes.
Happiness is saying, Ivan, that is what it is in a way.
I didn't get that.
We're not quite sure.
I'm not quite sure.
Ivan, that is what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, the tour of Second Life.
Second Life, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Got it.
Yeah.
Tour of the ashram. Mm-hmm.
I personally loved the invocation by Simon.
What a voice, huh? Boom. He was ready to boom. Yeah. That was an original piece written by this group.
They were all amazing. Let's see, Mark Circa says, I thought the reading was great. I had an M having a positive experience.
Me too. There's a nice glow after this one.
Winnipeg 9 says, also thanks to Tommy X.
Nice. Thank you, Winnipeg.
Right.
Yeah,
the man on the cross painting.
The image that we had, that the group wanted to focus on, was by Tom X, a remarkable artist that was an integral part of the community for many, many, many years, and was a painting phenom, worked often, sometimes directly with EJ on collaborative pieces. But he did this particular piece, The Man on the Cross, that is just elevating, really quite an elevating piece. And, by the way, 2 months ago, Pani told me to make sure that everybody knew that this was available if they'd like a copy of it. I don't know the price or anything like that. I haven't been given that yet.
Yeah, but that has been, it's been scanned. It's been photographed, actually digitalized.
Yeah.
So that it can be printed out, I think, at that size, approximately that size, which is something like 12.
David, can you have the camera show the picture?
Yeah, we're going to show it again.
Yeah. And I believe that, you know, we could ask EJ this, but I believe that EJ commissioned this specifically from Tom, you know, that he asked him to paint this out, to use as an icon or a yantra, you know, that this could be used for commissions.
Right.
Isn't it on the cover of A Lazy Man's Guide to Dying?
Actually, that's Tom's work. But that's a little different. That's the biker.
It's missing those tattoos.
Yeah, that's similar, but that's the one where I believe the angel is escorting the biker into heaven. You know, like guy with tattoos and.
That's right. That's right.
And so that suits with the lazy man's guide theme. You know, what is it? Yeah, like the lazy man's guide to enlightenment.
So if people are interested in that, let me know, and I'll it'll come from the group here. We'll put it together. Is that 2x3, or I don't know?
Well, that's just my guess. Is it something like 12 by 18 or 15 by 20? Or something.
It's
like
1 cubit by 2 cubits.
Yeah, right.
I don't know why that's funny, but it is.
Or so.
And it says, Lord, what's a cubit?
From your elbow to your to the end of your finger.
So I guess the other thing that struck me, and maybe Mark Circa said it too, is that There's a sheen of a mood that is left upon me at this point, but it is uniquely different than any of the other ones that we've done. That's the thing that is, I wish I had more of a discernment to point to it, other than to say, this is that mood.
Well, it seems, it's associated with Cassiel. I mean, I think that one of the best things about this experiment that we're doing is that I am getting a feeling for those archangels. I mean, some, like an atmosphere, you know, like a sense of it. Like this one, I feel very strongly that it's, you know, I really like what George put together, which was a number of quotes directly from the hidden work, you know, that were relevant, including one that mentioned Cassiel taking on postures so that the absolute doesn't have to do those then. But I have the feeling for this archangel that it's associated with the fair witness, which is, it's just there is a number of references in this literature about this archangel, about observing and not interfering, not intervening with humanity, being the observer, the Chronos, the father of time, you know, the duration, you know, the observing, witnessing.
But without.
Yeah, well, without intervening, which would also suit this idea of the seventh heaven.
Yeah.
Which is what, you know, George also was referencing, that it's very close to the throne. It's very close to the non-self, to the ego.
Which is interesting because fundamental to modern physics is the Heisenberg principle.
Mm.
And the Heisenberg principle is that all things are affected by the observer. And yet, I do have a sense of what Ivan's telling us is that there is the fair witness that is not clearly involved. That could be.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a recording principle in a sense.
Well, Well, it, you know, it also, it's, there's a very strong references in that, read that first, it's just so coincidental, it's not coincidental. The first chamber, the first reading in the Angel's Healing Journey is invokes Cassiel. And we didn't read that part in text, but Cassiel is the guardian in EJ's map, first hall of the first heaven, or the of the of the first, you know. They call the heavens in that book. Who's got the book?
The ward, you in what?
The first chamber. In Angel's Healing Journey, I think it's called the first chamber of the first hall of heaven.
Of the kingdom of heaven.
Of the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like it's a little bit reversed from what a lot of this other literature says about Cassiel, because it's it seems like it's the hall, it's the very beginning of the readings. It's the dramatic jump out of machine, you know, out of material life or mechanical life. It says, I wish I had the book here. It says somewhere in that reading that this is this irrevocable step is taken. That it's a step that's taken out of the material into the non-phenomenal, and that that step is irreversible.
But it's the highest.
Ah, that may be okay.
And
good.
The seventh is
the lowest. Okay, good. All right. Well, then, yeah, that suits then.
So Angel's Healing Journey, we should take a look at that then, too. Good.
Yeah, well, that's what Darcy read, the prayer from that first chamber.
Right.
Which, you know, invokes the violet, again, the violet cleansing radiation, and the, I really like crystal waters.
Endless crystal waters, and
yeah, it's just a really good image, I think.
In a few weeks, we're going to be getting into a study of the ABD, and one of the things that Hawk Lady pointed out was in that reading is the difference between the soft light and the difficult cleansing radiation. As we get braver in our work, we'll start to get a sense of the opportunity to stand in the cleansing radiation, to stand in there. Yes, it's by its fundamental nature, it's difficult. It's fundamentally cleansing, therefore it's cleansing something. We'll get into this a lot more when we do the ABD work, but we're talking about the really electrical realignment of the system, and sometimes it's not particularly pleasant, but we're a worthy effort. So we were introduced to that again tonight. Thank you for that reading. That was very nice, Hawk Lady.
It's actually hard to break the mood that was established.
You can tell some jokes.
Part of the work also, when we in the work of invocation, is to hold the mood. This is a it's a electrical stamp. It's a vibratory stamp that was presented to us by this choir. Through their efforts, through their work, and their intent, which is an important part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's an important part of it, brought us to a vibratory moment. Our job is to record that. Just like we're taking we take these images, these photographs with cameras and things like that. Take a camera shot now. Back right there. You may be asked at some point, what chamber are you in? you might be able to recall at that point, this is the seventh heaven. And you might say, ah, now I know where I am. I am in that realm. I am in the realm of Kasael. Much more on that later.
So Mark Roach has a comment.
Okay.
He liked the part about each line of the objective prayer absolutes being a reminder of each of the choirs.
Powerful concept. This was Silverdale began investigating that, I don't know how long ago, but certainly he started to put flesh on those bones when he worked with Sandalphon. And I strongly suggest you go back onto the website and look at his writing on Sandalphon. And I think you flesh it out a little bit more on that writing, Silverdale.
I felt Silverdale's writing was really powerful tonight.
Yeah, there's a clarity that comes through in that that is thoroughly invocational.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you allowed yourself to read it in that manner, Silverdale. It when you are in an invocational space like that, there's a transmission of data, it's a transmission of information. It goes long. The words are carriers, in a sense. They're just carriers. It's like a radio wave, right?
Yeah, a vehicle or
a radio wave is just a vehicle for other information. It gets translated when it gets downloaded. That's all that occurred here. Those words were the vehicle of the transmission that Silverdale was giving to us. And in a certain way, it was only possible in this space.
Something else that I feel like I've learned from this. I mean, I think that we've demonstrated that this idea of the invocation, you know, that comes at the end of those other readings, that, you know, the invocation itself always seems to be very strong. It's been strong with all of these choirs. I'm thinking that it's this idea that we're actually inviting that angel at that point.
Yeah.
That we're calling for the angel or opening the gates for it. You know, it's like that in the Passover Seder when you open the door. There's a special prayer that you say, and then someone gets up from the table and goes and opens the door in case Elijah is wandering, is coming outside, you know, in the form of a beggar, you know, a wandering Jew, stranger, and you are making it so that Elijah can come in,
right,
and join the company.
You prepare for that invitation.
Yeah,
it's a very high form of hospitality.
Yeah.
I take the assumption that is in fact what we did, that there was an invocation of that angel.
Well, that's why it seems to me that it feels very strong, like this is a kind of background and lead up, you know, or like a mood.
Yeah.
Creating of imagery and mood and so on, and atmosphere. You know, have the altar, you have the invocation, and then we really do seem to be in angelic realm. You know, changed realms, somewhat.
Yeah.
Hawk Lady had a comment.
Okay.
She said, first chamber of the first hall.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Right. And then if, I don't know if we passed that by, but that Tamara reminded me that that's in the 49 days readings, in the in the Bardo readings, you start out in the clear light. So you actually start out to me complete union, like in
the state of the uncreated.
In the non-phenomenal, in the closest to the absolute. And the readings are actually tracking that being, that essential self, through the dimensions, you know, all the way down to reincarnation. Down to
exactly.
For me, it was it was amazing for me because we were familiar, the members of the choir, with the writings. And as each was doing it, I was following the text. And it was amazing how the words that I had already gone through and read them a few times of each of us, they start to take a life in their own.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing, either George or Harry. And I was fascinated as I was doing the following, the reading that these companions were doing as RC, how each word that I had read before myself, it took a life on their own with the intention that each of them put in their write, in their reading. I think that is the importance of the ritual, I guess.
It's important to note that, says Simon, because we are in an elevated space, you have access to elevated, you know, I'll use the word knowledge, but it's an understanding that comes. And the understanding comes because we have allowed ourselves with a certain form of surrender to be in that elevated space. Therefore, more understanding is available. This effort at understanding is virtue itself. This is the activity. And we can pay our dues each moment by awakening the machine and standing in presence. That's the gift we can give back.
David, if I may suggest, could Ivan, when we close here tonight, say Ite Missaest as he hits that bowl so that these angelic presences can return?
Why don't, when we're ready to close, I'll ring the bell once, you invoke that, and Ivan will work with his bell, okay? You'll say that on our behalf, please?
I will.
Okay. Is there anything else that we'd like to say at this moment then?
So I understand next week is the Gabriel gathering. Gather in the name of Gabriel. All right. It'll be different. Yeah, so I should sound it again.
Oh, wait. No, he's going to
read. Okay.
Ite missa est. Thank you.
Thank you for coming this evening. We look forward to seeing you next Wednesday when we continue our angelic training. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you so much, Harry, George, and Elsie. It was fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you.